Welcome back to the Blindsiders. I am Ben, and I'm here with Dylan and Brian to talk about episode number 4 of Survivor 46. And we're here to say goodbye to the breakout star. You know, love him or hate him, and love to hate him, hate to love him. He's gone now. The breakout star of Survivor 46, Banu, has left us in this episode. We've been edged for a couple of episodes now about whether or not he would get voted out. Or, you know, Brian and I talked about the crazy scenarios in which he could even make it far to the game, but not to be.
No, unfortunately, good night, sweet prince. I would say we hardly knew you, but we knew you very well, actually. More than most players, in fact. But Dylan, what are your thoughts on Banu? Do you want to eulogize his Survivor career at all?
I'll miss Banu. It's scary to go into the unknown because we've focused this entire season on this tribe and Banu up until this point. And so I feel like I have real connection to most of the other players outside of this tribe. So that we're about to really see whether or not this is a good season. Banu realistically stayed here probably an episode too long. I do think maybe one more episode of Banu might have we went and finally jumped the shark, but this was the perfect send off. Him cursing God, him getting on his knees begging. It was perfect. I would love to see Banu in some other medium again. I think he's very, very
commercials.
He's very unintentionally hilarious.
Commercials. That's it. That's kind of crazy to me, but there he is. Yeah. What other reality show do you think he's made for? Do you think he the challenge? Any chance on the challenge? What about the traitors? I think that'd be entertaining.
The producers would definitely make him a traitor just to fuck with him for sure. If they put him on the traitors and made him a traitor, that would be peak cinema.
Yeah. So I mean, Peacock producers, if you're listening, God, if you're listening, make this happen for us. Banu on the traitors as a traitor. I want to see him in that castle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and see him find out he's a traitor, and then see if he tells 13 or 14 people by the end of the day.
Yeah, no, it may be the first traitor who lets himself get murdered.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna murder myself again, Banu, against the rules. Can't do that.
I do think I'm not. I was having this discussion earlier with my wife. I'm not fully convinced that this is a bad thing to have Banu finally gone, though, because I do think that he was really weighing down, I think, the show, even though I was loving every second of it. I think if others in the game were kind of really also mentally spiraling out of control, it would add to this is just a wacky season. But the past 4 episodes have really just kind of been this band's undoing on this island. And it was see him on his knees begging another grown adult to keep him in the game. That's very embarrassing. And I think Tiffany, right, Tiffany's her name. I'm still bad on the names. She handled that very well. Telling the dude, just get off your knees. This is one of the few times too that we've seen it where literally nobody back at camp is even trying to acknowledge the fact that somebody's going to save him. There's no gameplay being played. They're just trying to keep this mentally unstable person from completely losing their mind on the island. It was really entertaining the first 4 episodes, but now I really feel like we're finally going to see Survivor. We can finally see whether or not these people can play. I don't know. I think it's a whole indictment on everything pre-merge, how they have it set up right now, how it just honestly sucks too. With the tribes, but I don't know, maybe Banu is that revolutionary that Survivor needed. He's gonna just go on a warpath after this.
I think the people who dislike Banu would, I think they would probably like him more if they thought of him as a twist instead of as a player.
I just, I mean, probably. Well, I can't imagine not liking Baru. Can't get into that mindset even a little bit, but I do think like we either needed him to go out or them to win. Like we could not keep this story of like Banu's the odd person out on this small tribe for another week. Like we've told the whole story, you know, there's nothing else to explore about it. Like that, I think that's why people were more like being like, oh, finally he's like gone. Like he's dragging down the season. I think it's just because like the story beats were, there was nowhere to go. Like Banu had a merge or a swap, I think he would have continued to deliver a lot of entertainment, but like, we just, there's just not enough variety of like interactions with just the three other people on his tribe at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know what people wanted. Like what are people looking for from the story of the season outside of what we've seen? Because like what are we missing from Sega? You know what I mean? Like the structure on Sega seems pretty set. You know, if Jem doesn't do what he does in this episode, like there's literally no content on that tribe at all. Like.
We could have watched Charlie name off more Taylor Swift songs, but
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah,
taking the glasses off because I'm getting a headache, and then now they took it off. Everything is just like not good. These are not good glasses. My kid should not be wearing those. Yeah, I agree, and that's part. I mean, I don't know. That's part of like the worry too, is that we just now have like two very very boring sets of tribes left to play this game. I don't know. I feel like we're like starting a whole new show over because I really feel like I just don't know the other tribes at this point. We've gotten like some life with them. We've seen like some relationships, but like everything else, I don't know. I just don't feel like that. It's just, I don't know. I'm hoping it'll be entertaining. I'm assuming it will be, but this was another week where I also honestly thought that maybe that 90 minutes was dragging a little bit. At least it was for me, but I also had chaos going on in my house. I had people like yelling over the TV. So I think I was a little annoyed with that, but I don't know. I love Banu, but also I can see how being on that island, you want him out of there ASAP, too.
Right.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I would be on his tribe. I love him as a television character that I watch for an hour and a half a week, and then I shut off. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Living with him for 9 days straight while I'm starving and sleep deprived while trying to play Survivor would drive me insane, and I would probably have a mental breakdown.
I came out of this episode too liking Kenzie, Q, and Tiffany more too. I think we were like, obviously we were getting on them, rightfully so, after everything with the Jess, everything with that episode. But I like them more now. I'm rooting for them, but we've also have spent so much time with them. I feel like it's just like an effect of all that I want them to win because they're like all we're seeing.
Yeah, I do wonder if like, because people were very negative, like you said, after Jess, but I do wonder if like the two back-to-back episodes of like Banu like just being a horrible player and being very like difficult to, you know, play with or even just coexist with, I think if that was enough for people to be like, I get the frustration from these three, like it's very understandable.
Yeah, hustle. Go ahead, Ben.
Three people who I thought it was impossible for them to make them into underdogs because of like their likability factor at the start. Yeah. And they've somehow like still made them likable underdogs and like rootable underdogs, even like just through the virtue of what they've gone through. Like I feel like you could literally put any three people like randomly off the street into the position that these three have been in, and they would just like intrinsically be rootable underdogs just because of the circumstances. Like it's also like a really interesting like sociology experiment of like, you know, whether you're rooting for a person or you're rooting for like the sum of their experiences.
Right. Yeah, so I guess we'll see there. I mean, I'm very interested to see. Well, okay, so we merge at 13 now, right? So we just got merged. pre-merge. Mergatory, yeah, 13. Yeah. So we just got one more pre-merge to get through. I wonder if one of those other tribes will actually lose. Because, like, the three don't seem too, like, horrible at challenges. Like, I think it's realistic that the three could potentially win, you know? Like, the old addition by subtraction there. So maybe we'll actually get a storyline. And it seems like the storyline's going to be Soda gets voted off of that tribe. Although it's just hard to imagine Hunter allowing his tribe to lose.
Mm-hmm. All they need is it to not end in a throwing part.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, like, look at the, like Yanu won the reward challenge. Like, if that was an immunity challenge, you know, Sika would have lost the member. So, I don't know. I agree. I think that they're setting up for Nami to lose the last immunity of the pre-merge. Because I think that Sega still has, like, essentially no story, and this Tevin Soda stuff would feel weird for it to not pay off next episode.
Right. And then it's, you know, that's an interesting merge setup. Seven, you know, versus six, but it's 3 and 4.
Yep.
Could be fun.
Mm-hmm. Especially with Venus being, like, on the outs and potentially flipping.
Right. Could be a good merge if Nami can manage to lose. Which, well, I guess we'll see. But, yeah, I guess, what did you guys think of the idol, like, fake height hunt?
It's good to be.
It was good, yeah.
Yeah, bad gameplay, I think, from Gem.
So this is the part. This is bad radio, because this is the part of the show that I wasn't really able to focus on.
Mm-hmm. You didn't miss much.
Yeah, no.
I think that's also, like, I guess I just don't know how much there is to talk about outside of the bonus stuff, because, like, I did see that. Yeah, I don't know. It's just dumb stuff like that. Is just with the hidden idols and all that. I don't know. I don't like it.
Unnecessary, and potentially will bounce back on her, because. Mm-hmm. What does that tribe have to do other than stew on this, you know?
Like I said last time, I liked the way Q was going to play it, where Q was going to basically just try to form another ally out of it, where he almost had a free card to play, where he can try to get another idol or try to get another ally out of the fake idol while also, like, kind of keeping his hands clean with his, like, other, like, alliance too. Like, I liked that move that kind of, like, spawned out of the dumb, like, fake idol stuff, but I don't know. It just seemed like it was, like, almost just, like, forced, like, a time filler on this episode almost, like, for that to go through that.
Yeah. Did the producers be like, Jim, we'll give you, like, $5,000 if you do this? It doesn't make any sense strategically for you to do this, but this tribe is boring, so we need someone to do something, please.
Mm-hmm. Like, That is a very real concern of mine, too, that we're just left with a bunch of boring players now, based on what we've seen. I mean, maybe they've just been holding the edits just to focus on Bonu, but that is, like, my concern, that I think we're just dealing with a bunch of stinkers in terms of personality.
I think, you know, once we get people having to vote each other off, the characters will kick in. Mm-hmm. Right now, they don't even have to play Survivor. I remember on Survivor Game Changers, you know, there was the... I don't know what it was called, something stupid, but the green tribe that had, like, Ozzy and, like, Suri and, you know, Andrea, like, a bunch of, like, proven characters on the show, but they just, like, won every challenge, and so we just, like, didn't really see them other than Troy Zan finding an idol, you know, like, there's just no gameplay to show, really, you know? Mm.
Yeah, especially in this case where it feels like everyone in that tribe thinks they're in the majority because of, like, the way that Charlie and Maria have, like, structured their, like, alliances. Like, nobody's going to scramble to, like, cause chaos because everyone thinks they're in a good spot for if they do lose. It's like, yeah, there's just no incentive for them to do anything other than just, like, stay the course. And yeah, except for, I guess, Jem, who has decided that even though she's in an okay spot, that she just wants to cause chaos. When, you know, historically, you should only be causing chaos if you're in a bad spot. Like, the only way that chaos can help somebody is it can only help the people who are in the worst spot.
I will say, though, I'll never stop anybody from going on. Trying to create pure chaos.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's entertaining.
Yeah. Good TV, bad move.
Yep. Totally. I guess for Nami, the only storyline is the possible voting Soda off. I mean, it seems, honestly, Tevin's just bored. And he's just looking for something to do, and he's decided that scheming against Soda is the move here.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, like, having that conversation with Hunter is fine, especially if he, like, considers Hunter his number one ally and vice versa. Having that conversation with Liz, though, before losing the challenge seems, like, completely unnecessary. Like, I feel like you go to Liz 10 minutes before tribal council and be like, hey, vote Soda. And she'd be like, oh, thank God, it's not me. And then she would vote Soda. Like, you don't have to, like, set this up days in advance.
I agree. Like I said, I think just bored. Yeah. Just like, there's nothing happening. I want to do something. And, you know, Hunter is at least, like, building stuff. You know, Devin's just, like, chilling. Wait, he did get to scale the fish, which I thought was a great scene from him. And talking about his dad made me very, very sad for him that, you know, not thinking about, like, seeing people and then being regretful about not seeing them because they're gone. Like, that's, I think, a great scene for him. I don't know about you guys, but, like, potentially a winner edit type of a scene.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, I mean, if the players are bored, imagine how we're going to be doing. In like a week, 2 weeks. If
that's like, no, it'll be good because they'll actually be forced to play the game.
I guess, yeah. The one thing I know I won't tolerate is dumb moves that like don't go anywhere. It's like, oh, I made a dumb move. Okay, let's vote this person off, and there's like no drama, which is like what I'm worried about with these tribes. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. Like I genuinely feel like we don't know these tribes personally, like we did with Banu and Kenzie and Q and Tiff. It's just I'm like, especially talking about it now, I'm like more so concerned of like where the season's going. I still like everybody in the game. I just don't know how entertaining they'll be. And I think it's diving down a little bit from like the it factor that the past two seasons had. We're like, oh wow, we're like Survivor's back. It's getting good. Now I'm feel like we're kind of just like trudging along. Of like, oh, okay, well, Randon left with like a pinched nerve. Okay, we save Bonham one more time. Let's just get a whole another episode of Bonham losing his mind. Okay, what do we do now? Of like two tribes that have faced like no adversity outside of someone having a pinched nerve.
Yeah, I mean,
it really is like they have to fix their pre-merge format. Like they have to.
Preaching to the choir, Dylan.
I really hope that after the season. That they're going into the summer knowing that they're going to change the pre-merge. I don't think they will, unfortunately, but
I don't think they will either.
Especially if they're committed to the 26 days, if they're not going to go back to 39, I don't think it's going to change. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think the very frustrating thing along those lines is like when I've listened to Jeff Probst in interviews and stuff, like he'll address the fans like concerns, but only like the dumbest concerns. It's never like legitimate concerns of like the game feels a little stagnant in its current, you know, iteration. Perhaps you should mix it up a little bit. It's always like just like these weird like fringe things that he can kind of use to be like, you know, I'm listening to the fans, but they just don't seem to have good ideas or advice, you know.
I feel like a real indictment of the season so far too is like, and this isn't my original thought. It's something I've seen people bring up a lot before is like how Jeff talks about a season going into it and then how he kind of like pitches it during it. And I feel like we just have, maybe I'm just under a rock and I haven't like caught a lot of it. I feel like there's been like next to no hype from Jeff himself kind of like building up the season, especially where we were last season. I mean, look what happened last season. He took the winner of last season and made him a host on his show. Like somebody that literally just won. Last season you can tell like his thoughts on that player in that season. Whereas this season, I feel like there's like none of that, at least not in the social medias that I've seen.
Mostly what he said was, we're not casting villains. So I'm waiting for that to like,
yeah,
play out. Like, what's going to happen on this season that Jeff is like, we're not casting villains anymore.
And if what we've seen to this point is why he's not casting villains, that's stupid. We had that one.
I don't think we've seen this point. I think someone's gonna emerge or something's gonna happen. You know, well,
who do you think on the season was cast as a villain from the preseason?
That's the thing. I don't know if anybody is.
Yeah, that's a great point. As a villain anymore.
You know
who's,
what I mean?
Who's Jeff complaining about?
Like the only thing I can think of is like. Is like Charlie, right? Charlie seems like he, like, even if he's not a villain, right? Or because like right now he's definitely not, like he's, if anything, the opposite. Like he's like still, like, probably the most interesting character on Sega.
The only one that comes to mind that's left is Venus.
Venus, I don't know, maybe Kenzie, maybe
even then, like,
she'd be like a type A personality who, if she gets in control, maybe she'll talk shit about people.
I still think they were playing such a very like personal, like, once again, nobody talked strategy when Bono went back to the tribe. Also, like, I assume they're all pissed at him, obviously, for the leaking the game knowledge that he did. But like they're all still like very like humanizing in that. Like I don't come out of this being like, oh, Kenzie's gonna be like a villain. You know what I mean? So I just don't know where they I also love I was thinking on it earlier. I just love how like Banu's like his like one thought going out was like the only reason he's going out is because he told the truth, and like he's gonna be a liar now for the rest of his life. Like he'll never make that mistake again. I love that like he just clearly didn't learn like what the issue was, that you're just playing a bad game, or he's just like, I told the truth once and that was it. Like I learned my lesson.
Yeah, it was the telling the truth about telling the truth. Because he could have told the truth on the journey and then just not mentioned it and been fine.
Yeah, it's called lying by omission.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't lie or by omission.
Right.
I wasn't here to talk about this last week, obviously, but do you think that there was any part of Tiff that was going to go with Q to vote out Kenzie before? I don't think so either. Yeah.
It's hard to... I know Q kind of made it seem like maybe there's a possibility, but I don't necessarily believe it. And I don't know if Q knew that Badu didn't have a vote. So it really didn't matter what Q wanted. It was all in Kenzie and, you know, really Tiff's hands at that point. So I made the joke on Twitter, but like, when Banu like told them, like, I thought Tiff was gonna call Jeff back and be like, can we just actually vote for real? Like, totally fine, like, we can go to tribal council.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that she did the calculus like very briefly in her head. Like, I think any opportunity to survive you in Survivor, you should at least consider. Yeah, so I think she considered it and like what the ramifications would be, but after like, you know, thinking it through for more than like 10 seconds, I think that she probably said no.
And she's in a great spot now, so like,
yeah.
she's obviously the right move for her.
Yeah, she's basically already in the merge with an idol.
Yeah. I think she would have sat down for a minute there, like you said, Ben, and been like, this doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
So tough for Banu. I don't know. Like, he played himself into that position though. Like, he didn't have to be this horrible, but he just,
yeah, that's the other thing. That's why, like, the Jess thing, like, I do think there was some sort of grouping up, like bullying going on. Banu like did it all to himself. So that's why it's like, I do not feel bad for Banu at all. Like, my wife was like, I feel so bad. I don't feel bad for Banu. He was very entertaining, and I have like no doubt that he's probably like a nice guy in real life and like all that. But like, Banu was a terrible player that was also like having some sort of like, I don't know if it was from like the no sleep that he mentioned that he was never getting. And he was just actually having like a psychotic break slightly, as we all would with the lack of sleep. it was great. But at no point do I think that anybody has anybody to blame other than Badu for what happened to his game and the Survivor Gods that he cursed.
Yeah. Survivor Gods for putting him on the island in the first place.
Why did you bring me here if I wasn't going to win?
Yeah, hold on. If I'm God, I'm gonna be real pissed off because I just like destroyed Randon's nervous system 2 days earlier for this guy. He's cursing me out for putting him on the show. Like, give me a break.
Yeah, insane.
I can't do everything for you. Like, you gotta do something.
Oh man, as almost shades of. Yeah, I gotta make a Lost reference. Shades of like John yelling at the island, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know what you want from me. But yeah, I think this is just, it's just such an interesting character. 35 confessionals, hate that. Ben, you brought it up in our text chat. More than 6 winners, is that right?
Yep.
So fucked up.
Yeah, let's see if I can do them off the top of my head. I know Natalie White, Underwood, Bob Parvati. I think that's 4. There was 2 others. Jenna, I think, and maybe 1 other. Yeah.
Parv was very surprising when you said that. Like that didn't feel right, but I guess it was.
Yep. I think people forget Suri, dominates confessionals in Micronesia.
Yeah. And having watched Micronesia semi-recently, like a few years ago, it is surprising how there are like certain characters, like Eric is entirely invisible, like pretty much until the second to last episode before the merge. He's just like, he's in the premiere and then he just disappears from the narrative. Yeah. Then he pops back out only for like the back half of the season.
Yeah, Natalie Bolton gets remembered very strongly by fans, but she has 4 confessionals before episode 9.
Yeah.
Did he beat Erica from 41?
No, Erica and Denise were right above him. I think that had 40 or 37 and Erica had like 38 or 39.
And the only reason she beat him then was because of the whole the smash the time.
Yes.
Twist too.
Yeah. Erica got a lot of content in that episode. Yeah. Yep. If not for the Hourglass twist, he probably would have more screen time and confessional time than Erica. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that is insane. So people are like, US Survivor should be more like Australian Survivor. There you go, guys. So Australian Survivor decides that you're gonna get to know 4 people.
Yeah. So, similar to the contestants on this season, this is like the monkey paw, right? You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Banu is like, I want to, capture a million hearts, and then the monkey paw curls.
Oh man, yeah, I just bad editing. Hopefully, it gets better. I saw one person posit the idea on Reddit that production wants these disaster tribes because it makes like for an easier storytelling experience. And I was like, I don't know about that. I think you can edit a story where different tribes are going to tribal council pretty easily. Mm-hmm. There's 30 plus seasons at least that do that very well.
Well, I've seen the same argument be made by fans about Big Brother where the producers from 16 through 23, 24, 20, whatever. There was a meme that was half true where the producers only showed recruits BB16 and Sequester, and the fans were like, oh, they want BB16 style strategy and alliances because it's easy to edit when it's like a steamroll and a pagonging essentially. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know, I feel like they would want good seasons even if it's harder to edit, but maybe not.
I think the problem with Big Brother, and we've talked, not to talk about the have not rumor or anything too much on the Blindsiders, but Big Brother, that is the optimal way to play Big Brother, is to make a big alliance and be like, you know, insulated within it. And people just know that going into Big Brother, and like, you have to shake it up in the beginning. So maybe there needs to be twists that like benefit, you know, the minority in the house, but Big Brother isn't super good at that either. So it just always ends up being like this. It's hard to fault the players though for being like, oh, I have a chance at $750,000. Let me do the most optimal thing to help me get that, you know?
I do think that we talked about this, the idol wear advantage mechanic for this season, and how I think that this is probably the best execution of the wear advantage of the new era, because specifically it like, Dylan, do you disagree?
No. Sorry. I'm also on my work computer and I just saw something dumb pop up.
Okay.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm sorry.
No, that's fair enough. I think it's the best execution simply because it benefits, like, it's the one thing they're doing that actually benefits the like underdogs or the people who are struggling, right? Because we could enter the merge in 2 weeks where the only idol in the game is in Tiffany's pocket.
Yeah, we're going to have to see how it works if Nami and Sia don't lose a challenge. I'm hopeful that is the case, though. That'd be kind of cool to have that happen, but I guess we'll see.
You know what would be cool is just going back to the way that the original idols were. That'd be cool.
What, Exile Island? You want to bring Exile Island back?
I just want
regular... At this point, yes.
I maybe take that too. At this point, I just want regular, like, there's regular idols, no strings attached. You know, there's a vendor out here, it gets used, gets taken, another one comes back in, that's it.
I thought Exile Island was, like, fine for a twist, because, like, this is horrible and sucks, but you can get a big advantage in the game. It seemed reasonable to me, you know?
Yeah. The only issue with Exile Island is in, like, generally tended to incentivize people to send like strong men there to try to weaken them for challenges, and that meant that like only strong men were finding idols during that era.
That's a great point.
So I think Sugar being the main exception.
Oh man, that's so good too. Gabon's so good. Everyone, you know, we talked about it before we came on. It's finally getting love in the community, and I could not be more thrilled. Yeah. And one day you will all see that this season potentially can be a Gabon level, you know, crazy. I hope so. Anyways, I mean, Gabon had a steamroll too. Let's not forget, probably outside of Karor and Oolong, the most, like, because it was like, not only did the original Fong get steamrolled, the swapped version of it equally got steamrolled.
Yeah.
It's like a cursed tribe.
Yeah, it became a meme internally to the season, to the point where they changed their own name of their tribe to try to like break the curse.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh man. That's so good. You know, rewatch about.
Yeah, that's what Yanu. Yeah, Yanu made that mistake. Maybe that's what they need to try. They need to start calling themselves like Yanu.
Yanu, yeah. What was Malolo, they burned their tribe flag to try to get the bed. And it didn't work, did it? Or did they win one challenge?
I don't know.
Can't remember. It's just no good.
You're asking me like I've rewatched that season. I have not.
The pre-merge was fun.
Pre-swap, maybe I would.
Even the swap, because we have my boy James pulling off amazing blindside after the swap.
Yeah.
Man. But I feel like we've kind of, was it got blood from a stone on this one, where it's like, there's not, we already had the beats of Banu getting voted off last episode, only to just be blueballed. So
we even went on a little tangent just now, too.
Well, I have to. We
crossed off all our checkboxes. There's just not a whole lot outside of Bonner right now, which I said scares me, but I mean, we'll see how the next two episodes go. We've had like small sparks of what could potentially be drama and conflict in the other tribes, but it's just, I mean, we'll see. Like I said, I feel like I'm going into kind of a whole new season after this point in terms of like, we're obviously going to be spending a lot more time with assumingly the other Shoot tribes. So,
yeah. And no chance we get a last minute 7-7 swap, right?
No. Yeah. So, here's what I think, right? Actually, before we get into that, something I want to point out before I forget about it. I hated them having fish as a reward when there's a game mechanic in the season that disallows one of the tribes from having fire. That's so stupid.
Very dumb. Also, perhaps even dumber, you can't trade the fish for flint. You can only trade it for previous rewards.
Yeah, I don't
know. What is this?
I mean, tarp is still good.
What's that?
Tarp is still good.
Oh, yeah, it's a fine reward, but I would rather have flint. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
True. Just give him flint. Just give him flint.
Let him have flint. It's fine.
Yeah, this it's the same idea as, like, the Tyler Perry idea of, like, not allowing them to wear bathing suits and, like, right. Really allowing them to wear underwear, which is, like, that's so, like, why?
Yeah.
What value is it providing for the TV product or the game? Like, it's just making the contestants more uncomfortable and, like, less likely to be, you know, dynamic on camera for zero payoff at all. Mm-hmm.
Never underestimate how many horny people there are in this world. Never underestimate.
See someone in a bikini or swimsuit. It's the same. It's just like,
never underestimate how horny people are in this world.
Yeah, but like Brian said, it's more like, it's arguably more attractive to be in swimwear than to be in like disgusting wet underwear. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I don't get it either.
Unless that's your specific fetish. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and it's just, yeah. I don't know. I think it's very silly to do as well. And I think that people say like, oh, the fire doesn't matter because you can drink the well water now. Yeah. It's like, I don't believe that. You're telling me sleeping on a beach in the complete pitch black darkness and cold is the same level of comfort as that, but with a fire? That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, even the psychological benefits, like, it has got to be like, you know, non-zero.
Like, have you never gone camping? People are saying this. Have you never sat by a fire? Like, even on a summer night, it's way better than just sitting in the cold or like, you know, 60 degree weather.
Yeah. And then like, that's not even getting into like being able to cook coconut or cook fish or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, those are some big ass fish. They could have had, you know, a lot of protein from that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe would have not lost their fourth meal in the world.
Right. Yeah, I don't get it. Can you make a deal? 5 fish for Flint? That's fair, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, but I do think, you know, fish is a great reward if you can't catch it, right? Like,
yeah, it would have been pretty funny if they could trade for Flint and they traded for Flint and then they just like lost the immunity challenge the next day and had it immediately taken away.
Could have been a funny payoff, Jeff. I don't know why you're avoiding this stuff. It would have been heartbreaking for them.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, maybe one day Jeff will do that. I think, you know, we talked about it last week, Ben, where it's just like Jeff is just letting the car run right now. Like, he's not putting any effort to making it go anywhere. It's just idling.
Yeah, he's driveway. Letting the car run with the baby inside the garage with the doors closed.
We're getting close to it almost, you know. Like, that's the end result of this if we don't do something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Man,
it's depressing.
It is.
The more that I would talk about it, like I said, I'm not necessarily down in the season. I'm just not excited for the season now at this point.
I'm interested to see what happens next, because I have no idea what's going to happen next. That's at this point.
We could turn this whole thing around in 1 week, too. You know what I mean? Especially with the good faith that I'm giving them for the past two seasons. We could turn this whole thing around.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's how, like, he pulled me back in and he's now getting ready to just chew me up and spit me out.
Yeah. For me, like, I'm at the point where I'm not holding my breath for, like, a great season of Survivor. I'm just, like, excited when there's an entertaining season of television. And so far, I've been entertained. So.
Agreed. All right. So I guess, Dylan, where can they find you online?
You know where. DJ Clubberling on Twitter and on Twitch. Still haven't gotten the Twitch thing figured out yet. But Dragon's Dogma.
I'm going to let
Dragon's Dogma 2 comes out tomorrow. And I'm getting it. I already got it. It comes out at midnight. I'm not that big hole. I play the deluxe. I can play 3 days early. I don't do that. But it's coming out tomorrow for everybody else. And I'm getting it. I'm very excited because I heard it's very, very good.
Yeah, are you I don't know much about Dragon Dogma. Are you a fan?
Me neither.
No,
never played it ever, but it looks unbelievable. I'm in desperate mode for like a new fantasy RPG, and it was pitched to me kind of as like Skyrim meets like Elden Ring, which I'm like all for. And everything I've seen looks great. The graphics look great. I think we're at a point now with video games where everything is finally starting to look next gen too.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't know if you guys saw that Marvel 1943 trailer, but that was actually maybe the most stunning graphics. I know it was a cinematic.
King Ezekiel he's just in the game. It's just him. It's not even a video game graphics. They just have the actor in there. It's crazy.
The mouth movement was like the biggest thing that stuck out to me. At first, because I didn't even have audio on it first, and I clearly read what he was saying on his lips. Yeah. So very, very excited for that. I'm pumped. I've replayed Skyrim maybe like 7 times since it came out in 2011. Like from beginning to end, I probably have like very unfortunately probably close to we're approaching probably like 750 hours at least. I honestly think if you like accumulate everything from like when the very first time I played it up until now, that I love Baldur's Gate. And I like the Elden Ring a lot too. So I'm very, very excited for that. I'm going to stream that. I got to figure out my
whole thing. Yeah, man, call me. I'll help you like troubleshoot stuff.
I got to figure out the capture card. I think tomorrow when I do it, I'm going to stream it just from the PlayStation itself. Mm-hmm. I hate that setup, but I'm going to try it and I can get. It's not bad. I can't do my camera because I have the Sony camera, but it stinks. I'm gonna start streaming that. So follow me there, DJ Cloverleg on Twitch. Like Brian said, we're gonna start streaming soon. I'm not dead on Helldivers yet. I still find myself playing occasionally. I just haven't been playing a whole lot of video games actually recently, which is weird. But I said I wanted to start streaming more, and I just stopped playing video games for a little while. But so we're gonna stream more, and I'm like I just want to keep trying like dub games too, so that'll be fun. So we'll start doing that. Follow me there, and follow it everywhere else. I'm gonna say.
Yeah, I've been streaming a little bit lately. I've been making video like clips and stuff for TikTok and stuff. So hopefully I'll have a set schedule soon. I'm trying to figure out like how many days a week I want to commit to that versus some other projects that I want to work on as well. But yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm still loving Helldivers. I'm going to play Helldivers after I'm done editing this episode. I've been having a lot of fun with it still. Maybe Dragon Dogma. The one thing is like, just time. There's too many games that like I want to play.
My sweet spot is between 10 and 12. Eastern time at night is when I get the most time to really like sink my teeth into it, so that's kind of like the plan now. I don't doubt it's going to take me probably like a month to like actually like even just beat just the story. It's a game that's designed to put like you're going to put hundreds and hundreds of hours into it.
Yeah. Hey man, I saw like the first time I ever streamed was off of Xbox One with a Kinect way back in the day. So like, you know, you just do it. I mean, it all goes to the same website, right? Like.
I'm very much looking forward to the character creation. I've already seen some videos of people creating like exact replicas of like Walter White, just like all like TV characters. It's like insane, like the things you're able to do with this character creator. So that'd be cool. So
yeah, the AI they have, it looks very cool. Like it learns your play style and like makes the companion do basically like stuff you'd want the companion to do. I mean, sometimes companion AI is quite bad. It's gotten better, obviously, but like every now and then there's a game where it's like, holy shit, I'm just gonna kill this, you know. Or like the best thing is when they can't get hurt and they can't really do anything, but at least they can't screw your game up. But it looks like the companion AI like learns your play style, which is incredible. That's like next gen. Like you're talking about the graphics for sure, but like stuff like that, it's like,
it's about time. It's about time. We're only like what, 5 years into the, we're 4 years into the the next gen at this point. So, about time.
Right. And then like people, you know, I think the real thing with that stuff specifically was, is it EA? I think did Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War, and then they like made the Nemesis system like no one else can use it. So I was like, wow, this incredible advancement in like how video game like narratives can be played out. And then it's like just locked behind EA and they haven't made like another game in a solid like 7 or 8 years since then. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. But Ben, where can they find you online?
You can technically find me at Ben Sharon, but I don't really use Twitter anymore. I mentioned on the podcast before that I deleted the app off my phone, so I'll open it up on my browser maybe like 2 or 3 times a week tops. So don't expect a lot from there.
I guess Kevin Martin from BB Can, he was doing a 24-hour stream, and there was a certain clip of him that went very viral, at least in the BB community. I sent it to you on Twitter. I don't think you ever responded to it.
Oh, I'll have to double check and see. Was this recently or was this a while ago?
A couple weeks ago. I think it was just
subathon. Yeah, I don't remember seeing it. So I'll have to check that out.
The whole clip was basically just like he was sleeping and he woke up and he was wearing boxers and it was just like, you know, very well endowed. It was like, all right, Kevin, wasn't, you know, that Shaq beam and I wasn't familiar with your game. But that was very funny, I thought. So trying to merge the streaming talk and the reality TV talk here. Speaking of, has that been good this season?
I mean, good is definitely an adjective. I was very open that I'm only following the season because Anthony Douglas is on it, and I'm like a big Anthony Douglas fan.
Yeah,
it seems like most people are not enjoying him on this season.
A little bit of the, you know, your fave comes back and runs the game, and
it's very Paul Abrahamian-esque, and you know, similarly, he has a pretty good shot of making it to the end and possibly winning at this point. He definitely is like the rest of the cast is kind of looking like bozos who don't know what they're doing.
I do love the idea that they cast, like, because BB19, 100%, they cast the dumbest fucking people that they've ever cast on a season. I love the idea of throwing one like beloved person in there with a bunch of idiots and seeing if they can pull it off or if they torch their reputation.
I think that's like the trade-off, right? Like you can't come back a second time and like run it down a season that like feels like it was handmade for you to win and keep the goodwill of the fans, because like that's just not entertaining, right? That's like Boston Rob Redemption Island, right? Like even if you're the biggest Boston Rob fan coming into that season, you're like leaving it having not enjoyed the season at all and be like, okay, this was bullshit. They just set this season up for Boston Rob to win. And that's definitely what it's starting to feel like right now, where it's like, okay, yeah, they just built a season to give, you know, Dougie $100,000 because they felt bad that he lost to one of the greatest players of all time in the end of Weekend 7. So, I mean, look, if that's what happens, if he, Paul B19's it and walks away, you know, but in this case walks away with a win, like that's fine with me. I know a lot of people dislike him and find him to be egotistical and cocky. And it's like, yeah, but he's one of the best players of all time, so he can do that.
Yeah, and that's how I felt in BB 19 for a lot of it, where I was like, you know, end of BB 18, if you told me Paul was going to come back and win a season, I would have been thrilled. Mm-hmm. I was less thrilled by the end, and I was like kind of happy Josh won, if we're being honest. But, you know, I wouldn't mind Paul winning, you know. But anyways, I think, you know, it'll be interesting to track if he can pull it off. Be sure to update us as it keeps going.
I'll watch this so you don't have to.
Right. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at TheFakeBMarr, B-M-A-R-R. I'm streaming occasionally and doing more stuff. You can follow B is for Brian if you want to see clips on YouTube. If not, TikTok at WGE was live for clips. And then we can get everything for pretty much else. Everything else. Better Radio is, of course, this channel. I did an interview with the creator of a Titanfall web series called New Frontiers. Check that out. Or just check out the web series because he did like basically like a Netflix thing where he dropped an episode a day. So like 4 years of work of his life just done in a week of release, but it's very good, very cool, getting a lot of love there and a lot of positive, you know, feedback from people who are Titanfall fans. So if you're a Titanfall fan or just like an indie filmmaker fan, check that out, then listen to the podcast I did with him where he explains everything he did to make this, you know, fully CG web series. It's very, I thought it was a really great conversation. So, yeah, other than that, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.